everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deep Dive Podcast. So, Steve, now you've heard of all the goodies in the budget.
Yeah, pretty good. I say that goodie bag was goodier than I expected.
Okay, what surprised you? What surprised you?
CDC vouchers, kind of expected, but all the extra stuff and basically the amount of vouchers along the way. And yeah, basically it just felt like we're getting a lot of monetary incentives.
Indeed. You know? $800 in CDC vouchers. I was like, wow, that was my top line, you know. And then $500 in May, $300 in Jan next year. Not forgetting, we just got $300 last month, right?
I haven't even touched those yet.
You haven't finished those?
Yeah, I spent like $5 on it, I think, for my Hockey and Me, but that's about it so far.
Okay, and then there's SG60 some more.
Yeah, that's right. Because we are 60 this year, it's a big celebration for Singapore. So all of us get $600 in July, and those above 60 will get $800.
That's right. So it looks like the government is tackling cost of living pretty much head on. Mm-hmm. But we want to take a step back, and we want to explain what the big moves are and what does it mean for us going forward with the elections on the horizon.
Okay, so just very quickly, your reaction to the budget and what was given out.
I actually thought, like you know, Steve, it's goodier than I thought. Yeah, and I think, to be fair, it's actually more than just the CDC vouchers. I think if you look at it as a whole package, it's actually looking at both short-term and medium-term.
Okay.
And, you know, for all the packages, it's beyond just about vouchers. It's about training, grants. Mm. And I think even businesses have something to be happy for.
Okay. So what about you?
Yes, and I agree too. You know, it's definitely a budget for everyone. That's what Prime Minister has actually alluded to before the start of this presentation. So effectively, right, from retailers, you know, to households, you know, and then we have those SG60 celebrations all come together. It's happy to see everything coming together.
People were quite happy with the CDC vouchers. And the SG60 ones go to every citizen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just a household thing. But the question we wanted to ask is, cost of living is tangible, right? I mean, we feel it every single day. Yeah, the vouchers definitely help. How far do you think this will go in soothing some of those concerns? Mm.
So if you look at it at the short term, I think it helps because I think a lot of people are very worried. Mm. And within the next 6 months, with the uncertainty politically, and even with the disruptions in supply chain, at least they say, I can last for at least 6 months. So if you notice, the timing of the vouchers is coming up in the first half of the year.
That's right.
So I think the confidence factor is a very critical part of it. Now, of course, it's dynamic. So, you know, the world is changing and we really hope that maybe inflationary pressures will not be as high. Mm. And I think the giving part of it is part of the celebration.
Right. I see.
So it's also good that sometime in August, you know, in September, we are also getting money coming in.
Yeah, so it's kind of spread out over a period of time.
So I think in terms of the mental health of the country, the confidence level of the country.
But is it enough? Because if I'm thinking, I'm worried about my job, for instance, I say, I'd rather get my job assurance than CDC vouchers, right?
Yeah, I think to be clear about inflation, right, let me just clarify first. So to unpack inflation, right, is defined formally as increase in general price level. So we know that inflation has actually gone down from the year 2023. So in 2023, it was like 4.8%. And last year, 2024, was like 2.4%. So it actually went down, okay?
But it doesn't feel that way.
But it certainly doesn't feel that way, right?
Precisely, because inflation is actually a rate of change of price levels. So price levels are going up. So it doesn't mean that inflation is going down. We experience a fall in prices. So indeed, people are still experiencing a higher price level, even though at a slower rate.
So what you're saying is inflation might go down, but we will still see prices stay the same or go up?
Price levels is different from inflation rate, which is defined as a change in price levels.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. So this is a bigger problem, right?
Yeah.
It's not something that the government can solve by giving, X amount of vouchers, etc.
Yes. If you relate it to what Steve was asking, all right? I'm worried about jobs.
Yes.
Right? I'm worried about retrenchments. Mm. And so you need to look at it side by side with the job assurance scheme and the programs that's coming from there. And if you can get productivity levels up, then the higher wages could be justified. So we actually have to look at the whole thing as Singaporeans, not just as consumers, but Singaporeans as producers as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because that way, if I can do better in that, then my income will increase and therefore I won't feel the pinch so much, right?
That's right. And to add on, for example, CDC vouchers, I think, shouldn't be normalized too much. So in fact, everybody's expecting CDC vouchers all the time. Me too, definitely.
Why not?
I don't think we should normalize it, definitely. I mean,
but it's already normalized. It's too late, right? I mean, now we all expect it. We keep getting it.
We keep getting it. So unlike GST vouchers, which are to help the lower-income households, which is more formalized in a way, so I would think we need to be very careful that we should not overly celebrate CDC vouchers. It just means things are more expensive and we need some support. So hopefully, with more upgrading of skills, high income, these CDC vouchers would go away. Okay,
so the longer-term thing is that hopefully your incomes will go up.
Yeah.
And then you would not need this kind of help.
Yes. Or the level of help may not be as high, and it may be calibrated for those who are at the bottom of the pyramid.
Mm.
So it will be a little bit more differentiated and customized.
Okay.
So ironically, when they stop giving us CDC vouchers, things are better. Right? In a way, it means because it means your job is better, you're getting paid more, you don't need the support anymore.
But the surpluses were so good. Over $6 billion.
Yeah. Why? We've got to ask you all why. So, because we have some inclination that it's because, you know, the elections are around the corner, they've got a budget to kind of spend, and they figured, let's spend it.
So as what Prime Minister has mentioned, a big surplus of it is actually due to the increase in corporate income tax. And the corporate income tax is actually the largest proportion now of the revenue, as compared to previous years.
But that corporate income tax is because we did better in terms of business, more people coming in, more people paying tax, right?
Precisely.
More companies paying tax. More companies coming
in.
That's
right.
Yeah, so because of more companies coming in, for example, more doing well, but it might not be so sustainable because we are not sure whether what would be changed in the geopolitical climate. For example, we have this rules going on. So we need to be very careful of that in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
So we need to be selective on the kinds of companies coming in.
Yeah.
So if it's companies coming in because of low-cost drivers, easy come, easy go. So if they are selecting us in spite the higher cost relative to our neighbouring countries, it must be because they like the security, they like the talent pool, or they like that safety and soundness. So those elements means that it can be more sticky.
Right. It's more sustainable or long-term. So they're coming because they see the full picture, the ecosystem is there to support them, versus in just low taxes.
Let's talk about large families. That was another big thing, right, in this budget. We were quite surprised. I mean, I was personally quite surprised because in my mind, it's quite hard to convince people to even marry and have one kid. Here we are saying, have three children and, you know, you will reap the benefits. So why do you think the government is focusing on large families?
So I think this year, the TFR, the total fertility rate, really went below one. At 0.97.
Yeah.
And that's very worrisome because if we depend on our own domestic population to procreate, they can't even replace the parents. So I think something needs to be done. And we are not too sure. I think for years we have been giving baby bonuses as well.
Yeah, but we found that giving money doesn't make people want to have more kids, right?
Yeah.
Because the kids cost way more than whatever money the government can give me.
I would love to see wonderful case studies. I think Minister did put up, you know, families that have more than two children and how they are actually thriving and how the packages would help them. But, you know, working women, we have to juggle between work, all right, and home. And at the end of the day, I know many young men are pulling their weight this day. So my son-in-law, they are doing all that. But even then, if you have two working couple in a family and the kids have to be sent to school. The weight of having to worry about their learning.
Yeah, childcare, you know,
nurturing,
infant care,
mentoring. This, yes, the whole works. So I'm not sure.
You have two children. Yeah. That's right. Have children.
That's right.
Would you have another?
Maybe after this policy change. Okay, so back to the question. So to increase TFR, right, I think there are two possible ways. So one way is to encourage couples to have their first child. And the second way to then encourage people who already have children like me to have a third child or fourth child, for example. So this is a challenge now. I mean, which is easier? Is it easier to convince a person to give a first child or the third or fourth child in a way?
Oh, you got a good point.
That's a fair point, actually.
Yeah, because to have a first child is going to be lifestyle change totally. You know, you cannot have your lifestyle change in terms of, let's say, you need to plan, buy a baby cot. There's a lot of fixed costs involved.
So in a way, the incentives were there really to just help those along the journey, not to say, go and have a kid because I'll give you money, but more like, if you do, we can make it easier for you.
So the delta in having that first child has been tried many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So maybe if you already have two children, the incremental delta is
that's
less.
True.
The marginal cost will now be less.
And you think like, oh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we could consider it.
And you're quite cool. You've already got two kids. You have the experience.
Our colleague here, the cameraman behind there, he's getting number five soon.
Well done.
So he's done well.
No, but I think I'm talking to the wrong people because all my friends and colleagues with two kids, I ask them, can you have a third one? And they're like, absolutely no.
They work in this office, right?
Yes. Yeah, just here.
Except for you.
Except for cameraman. Yeah, but okay. So the idea is that they want to make it easier for families.
Yes.
To ease a little bit of the burden.
Yes. And they are doing the right thing, you know, having more children for Singapore.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like, you know, we want to say thank you.
And I thought it was interesting because one of it was, I think, the preschool or which part they were going to sort of standardize the fees because that has been a real bugbear for many young parents.
I really like that. Very much. Yeah.
Tell us why.
I guess those are not the private operators in a way. Yeah. So for many of households, sending the kids to preschool is actually costing more than the primary and kindergarten.
That's right.
If you do level up the field, they would say, it's a little bit more affordable.
Mm.
And the kids are getting help because preschool, actually, there are a lot who are full day preschool.
Yep.
Mm.
So I think that will help working parents a little bit more.
Okay. So the other thing we wanted to get on, because you can't talk about families and raising children without talking about work. Mm. Because both parents work, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so there was quite a bit on the local workforce, making them more productive, giving them more credits, you know. Do you think that, you know, one of the things was broadening it to part-time courses, for example, you know, because it's impossible. I can imagine, you know, you're a young parent, you have a full-time job, your wife has a full-time job. There's no way you can take a course, right, with little kids. So, but part-time may be possible. Do you think that's what's driving
And again,
this?
I like that very much, because maybe it could be an online module. So you could do the course and still looking after the kids at home. So I'm still waiting for clarity because they say selected part-time courses.
Mm.
And I would like to think that those part-time courses are maybe tied to workplace as well. So it's not just an academic course, but it is allowing you to move up to different levels of jobs or job redesign.
Yeah.
So I actually think that the workfare together with the SSG credit come hand in hand.
To add on, for example, I think what's important is this time around we can see is that the government is actually working closely with the companies as well because they understand there's a lot of frictions involved, you know, to claim money, reimbursement, there's a lot of pain points going on.
Yep.
So this time around what we see is that the government is aware of these pain points and is working closely through the employers. So with a collaboration between employers and so-called the workers together, I think this will be much more smoother in a sense.
Okay, the biggest friction I would say though is inertia on the part of the worker, i.e. me. I haven't used any of my credit. Have you?
No, I haven't. Yeah. It's tough. No, because...
So you need nudges from your employers. So employers is aware you can claim
employers
easily.
Employers, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of almost need to make it like mandatory and say you need to go attend one course every year and go use your Skills Future, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes. So I thought the customization would qualify. And I think that's important. Mm. So if you were to learn something while you are at work, what would it be?
I've been wanting to learn how to fry char kway teow because I love eating it.
No,
come on.
Like, you can use your SSG. Skill.
Yeah.
What has frying char kway teow got to do with the what you are doing, Steve?
Well, I mean, like retirement, maybe I'm planning for my second career after I leave legal, right?
Yeah. But I thought the job redesign piece. So if there are certain jobs that are at risk at the workplace and you work together with the employer, and then you try and save the individual and not just the job.
Oh, so that's in a way making a very conscious effort to say that your role may be obsolete in a few years. Let's start working on it and getting you ready for
that's right. So the skill I would pick to learn, I suppose, is social media 101, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, I might be a little relevant.
That's right. So I think it's more a collaborative effort, I guess, based on this fiction.
So I think for many of us, we have the money there. It's just finding the way, a time, and a good spot to use it. You
That's
know,
right.
Effectively, Okay, let's move on. Let's talk more about work, because there was also $1 billion in support for research in biotech and semiconductor chips, which seems a big deal in that area. I didn't know that, you know.
Me too.
So why do you think there's an emphasis in this area?
So, you know where you are now?
Yeah.
You're here with Mediapolis, yeah. Fusionpolis, Biopolis.
Right.
So when we talk about the kinds of companies that we are hoping to attract, if they have high R&D content, if they have a place that they would want to locate their innovation centers, this could be the choice place, because we have a respect for IP and we make sure that, you know, we collaborate across universities.
Okay. Mm.
So I think the stickiness becomes a lot more relevant if you are having a lot of these companies that are concentrating on research and development. And so they need to be at a place where they can feel very comfortable, that there's IP protection, that there is talent. So we are also open for talent to be placed here.
Okay.
Yeah, so but biotech, they've been doing it for a while,
yes,
right?
Correct.
So is this medical technology in that area? That's tough to do. It's very costly.
Yes. DNA sequencing.
That's
using quantum, all right? Yeah. So the technology has to come together.
Yeah.
So it is beyond just biotech. It is bio and tech and talent.
Mm.
So again, it's an ecosystem. And so far, I mean, because we are doing that, we've been doing that for a while. So one could say that we're quite mature to a certain extent in that area.
Right.
So this is just a further nudge.
Yes. The incremental. All right. And I think we haven't... You know, R&D takes many years.
Yes.
So it's not something you could switch on and switch off. Mm. So
that
top up the enhancement is because we think we are in the right direction. We are seeing companies coming in.
Mm.
And 8 out of 10 of the world's global pharmaceutical companies are here.
That's right. And then they come here and guess what? They pay corporate tax. Ka-ching. There you go.
To add on, for example, semiconductors as well is a big thing too in Singapore, right? Not just biomedical tech, semiconductors.
It's the chips, right?
The chips.
The kinds that NVIDIA... Hmm.
So, and you know, NVIDIA, you know, AI is a buzzword for the past 1-2 years.
Yeah.
AI, the technology, and there's this tension between US, China, and so forth.
Mm.
So these are all good opportunities. I think it's a great direction for us to put our money there.
Okay.
To say this is the way for us, you know, to have any opportunities available, especially these global tensions.
I thought the nuclear power one was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. It's been raised before.
Yes.
It's not terribly new.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's come up again, it's all linked to clean energy.
Yeah.
The needs are going up, right? Our energy needs are going up. Then the climate thing comes into play.
So it's both a climate risk. You have the push factor, but you also have a pull factor.
Mm.
And I think Minister also said we are constrained. Yeah. We don't have wind. We don't have waterfalls.
That's right.
So we can't have hydro. We can't have wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why our resources? Mm. Solar, we have some, but it's not going to power all of us.
Mm.
And everything that we need needs lighting. Mm. EV needs charging.
That's right.
So this is the progress.
Mm.
So we can't do it on our own. So it's, again, ecosystem. So Minister also say we have to talk with our neighbours and having the SMR.
That's
right,
the modular reactors.
Yeah. So not something that's going to cause risk, but something manageable.
Mm.
Okay. So this is, in a way, a bit more of a push factor where we have no choice but to explore this area, right?
Exactly.
For future needs.
Yeah, because our, you know, it'll get expensive and
we'll
need that.
In Singapore's objective is to be a net zero economy, okay?
Yeah.
But to do that, we need to focus one important thing is power generation. Right now, it's about 95% of our power generation is from natural gas.
Mm.
And we need to find something to overcome it. And one way is to realize something called a regional grid. So a regional grid actually can rely on Laos, Thailand, elsewhere, and so forth. That's one way of doing
it. We pay for it.
We
buy energy.
That's right. But the issue is that it's not so sustainable. It's that it's a risk. You know, one day they decide to shut off. So that's why we look at other alternatives.
So who knows? You might have boats that can carry the SMR. Right.
Okay.
Maybe.
Right. Yes. So who says it's got to be on land?
Yeah.
Ah,
you feel it's important, how it plays an important part in the whole, you know,
actually,
future planning.
Based on a lot of scientific report, nuclear energy is actually one of the cheaper ones and cleaner.
Okay, so you think this is going to move the needle?
We have talked about clean hydrogen before as well, so we explore, as Melvie says.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it down.
I guess they're just putting it there so that at least we start thinking about it. And it's, you know, been mentioned before, so people can explore more in that area. Okay, so all that in, you know, it basically does kind of all tie in together if you think about it, because from one you give to the other, and you need that whole, for lack of a better word, again, ecosystem to support each other. So moving forward, is that really the position here? I mean, are they also hoping to rely on this corporate tax to, again, help us financially moving forward?
So it's quite interesting that minister could even forecast next year's budget
supply. I know. But then, you know, Trump is in power.
So to be fair, he did qualify, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That it's a lot of moving parts. Mm. If everything that we have worked into the model go according to plans, yeah, we should be able to get a budget surplus. Yeah, so that kind of confidence is amazing. Right? And I figured maybe, you know, a lot of those companies that came in and help us boost our revenue, they might probably have signed a 5-year, who knows, five-year commitment. Correct. To invest in the country, right. You know, we'll stay here, and, you know, and maybe a lot of the tax, you know, rebates that come in makes it worth the while.
I see. Okay. So in a way, it's kind of locked in with some caveats in case there's some storms on
there's
the horizon.
There's no never. We can never forecast how companies will react and how maybe they can be politically motivated otherwise.
But that's one thing we have been pretty good at doing, you know, saving money. Right here in Singapore, over the years, we've never been broke, right?
And we have always reserves for COVID years.
And that has given us a very strong advantage, especially in COVID. We realized those resources were vital in keeping us going, right?
Yeah.
So all the things, all the cards that have been played now, does it then suggest that everything is moving very quickly towards a general election? It feels that way too.
They have to, right? They have to have elections by November 20, end of the
year.
Okay,
but our question is timing.
Timing. Yeah.
Okay, so you saw the calendar where the goodies are being dished out, right? So most of it lands in the middle of the year.
But I guess it's by construction because the budget begins in April. Yeah. So we only have a few months to deal with.
Yeah.
So, for example, and we can't give them too late as well, because of the fact that we do have a CDC vouchers in January, so we should space them out to prevent people from overspending and spread out across the years.
Mm.
So our thing is too hard to say.
I won't call it an elections budget. I'll call it a celebratory budget.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if you notice, the bulk of it is before August 9th.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So to celebrate, you know, have a few months or so, you know, vouchers coming
then what is
in.
An election budget? Even goodier?
That would be part of this whole process.
Right.
So, but I love the idea that it's an SG60 budget.
Okay, so she looks at it more like a Singapore celebration.
Yeah. And this is a year of celebration.
It is.
We have a big birthday.
Yes, coincidence then, this election year. Okay, but no, if we had to pin you down for...
Pick a month.
School holidays,
but half the country is gone.
That's when?
Early part of the school holidays.
Okay.
For logistics reasons, right? School holidays,
Like early June, you're saying?
Late September, May. Right? It's only two possibilities, right? June or September.
September don't have a long break.
It's a 1-week break, yeah.
Yeah, just for logistics reasons. But
so how can you ask two professors who don't know anything about politics?
We do economics.
Everybody's got a say on this. We all have an opinion, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no right or wrong.
Come on, it's in all our WhatsApp chats. Down to the date.
I'll check after this.
There's only one man who knows right now, and he hasn't shared it with his WhatsApp chat group yet. I think he hasn't told the guys. Hey.
He's a bit under the weather, though.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, any last things that you want to point out about the budget? Like, what surprised you? You know, what do you think is a little bit more work in progress, maybe?
I like the elderly part as well. Mm. And the help that is given to a lot of home care and the home caregivers.
Okay.
So I thought that was very good. It's very inclusive. And I think it is also one of the big worries that's in the heads of a lot of our sandwich property.
That's right. Yeah.
So I quite like that piece.
I like the fact that actually they didn't mention much about foreign workers this time around. Because for past few budgets, they did mention about foreign workers, limitations, and so forth. But I think we should, this time around, we did not put it in. So I thought it's quite interesting in a sense. Yeah. for the past of few years, we've experienced, for example, when the government restricted foreign workers' quota, we changed the local qualifying salary, and so forth, because in hope to have more locals or being employed in a way. But this time around, we can see the focus is a bit shifted to more of the skills future, in which we actually make sure that people actually have the more skills involved. And so subsequently, we have this part-time training, and so that actually we can rely more on ourselves than limiting foreign workers over here.
So an emphasis more on Singaporeans and Singapore workers, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's also a good interpretation.
Yeah, but I think they're worried about the Singapore worker at some point. Yes. You know, in terms of job displacement because of AI and et cetera. So these are, I guess,
good issues. Good to concentrate your attention on what can be done ourselves.
Yeah, and now we're giving you the resources, more money, so to speak, to help you, you know. Elevate.
I call it, we own that destiny. So the first 60 and the next 60.
Okay.
So if we could use those funding and those training well, then we are leaving behind for our children and the grandchildren something for their next 60.
So spend your CDC vouchers wisely, guys.
Yeah, you can, in fact, you can spend it quickly too, because there's another one coming quite soon.
Spend beyond that $5 char kway teow.
Yeah, okay. I'll try. I'll go to my favorite supermarket, NTUC FairPrice. So thanks so much for joining us. This has been Deep Dive. Of course, if you have any comments and thoughts to share with us, do drop us a note. But otherwise, a shout out to our team, Tiffany R, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Saya Win, and Hanida Amin. Bye for now.
Bye.